It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Romans, and we're going to begin reading today at the 10th verse, Romans chapter 1, verse 10. Romans chapter 1, verse 10. And I sure hope that you can read along and study along as we're doing it today. And so please turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verse 10. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to contact us, you could give us a phone call. The phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to contact us by email, that's parkviewbible@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. And please check out our website. We have about 800-plus messages on the site there, and we have our Constitution, Plan of Salvation. So please take a look at our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And that was parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Beginning now with the 10th verse of Romans chapter 1. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey, by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I propose to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now we're going to end there and begin the study with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we have this wonderful opportunity to come together to read your word and then to begin fellowship to study over this precious word, your living word. So please that you would guide and lead us. Those that are listening today that do not know you as their Savior, I hope today will be the day of salvation. Your word tells us that today is the day of salvation. It's the day to come and call upon you as our Savior. Please, dear Lord, today, that you would be able to come into the hearts of those and that they'll listen today, they'll hear today, and they'll accept you as their Savior. And Father, please, that you will just guide and lead each and every one of us today. It's such a joy to study your word and to grow, and as we've been studying in the Gospel of John, to abide. We need to abide in you. We need to depend upon you. We need to look to you always for our power and for our strength, because we are without strength without you. And so please, just lead us today and guide us today. I just ask, Father, to give us strength and direction and wisdom. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses, we find that Paul, especially in these 10 and 11, and then even down through 13, that Paul has such a desire to go to Rome. So far, God has not allowed him to go. And he's telling these brethren, because they're getting a little impatient, because they even wonder if Paul wants to come, because he keeps saying, I'm coming, and he never comes. And so it's not that he does not want to. He has such a desire to come. And you see, he is a Roman citizen as well as a Jew, and so he desires that they're his people too. I mean, his heart is with Israel, but he also has a heart and a desire to see the folks at Rome saved, all that are there, whether they. There are some Jews there that need to be saved. There's Gentiles there that need to be saved. There are those there that are saved that need the power and the strength of the Word. They need to hear the Word proclaimed. And so Paul just has such a desire to give the gospel to Rome. And that's what 10, 11, and 12 is talking about. And then even 13 there, I don't want you to misunderstand, Paul says. If I don't come, it's not because I don't want to. You know that time after time after time I have desired to come. Now, we get into some very beautiful verses of Scripture here in verse 14, because it says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And then he begins some beautiful words there, I am not ashamed. But let's kind of talk about this, I am a debtor. It means that Paul is under obligation to preach the gospel to all the world, anyone they'll hear. And it's not an obligation that is a burden to him. It's something that he desires with all of his heart to do. And he feels that he, because of what has happened in his heart, because of the saving power of Jesus Christ in his heart, when the light shone down and Paul was saved, and he accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior, he found life for the first time. He found peace for the first time. He found joy for the first time. And he desires that all will hear and all will accept, because he owes such a debt to the Lord Jesus, and he feels like that I've got to preach this. He feels so responsible because of the gift that he has received. He feels so responsible that he gives out the gospel, and he has an opportunity to share this gospel with all the world. And the scripture says here, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. And then in the 15th verse it says, I am ready to preach. The question, I guess, comes is to us, and that is, are we ready? Are we ready to take out the gospel? Do we realize as believers, if you know Jesus as your Savior, and you know, you've come to the cross, and when I say you've come to the cross, it's a wonderful opportunity that we have to be saved. But back in the Old Testament, there was a tent-like building called the tabernacle. And many folks aren't even familiar with that term. If you've been listening to the radio program very long, I'm sure you've heard me refer to it, and you will continue to hear me refer to it, because it gives us such a wonderful picture of what a believer, and what a person needs to do to be saved, and then to grow, and then the opportunities, the blessings that come along with that. All this is pictured in this tent-like building, and the courtyard that is surrounding this building. As you would come in from the east, there is one piece of furniture, I guess you would call it, one item that's in the courtyard. There are only two items there. One is the brazen altar, and the next beyond that, closer to the tent, to the tabernacle itself, is the brazen laver. You cannot get to the laver. You cannot get to the tent-like building, the tabernacle. You cannot get into the holy place where there is showbread, they call it, to feed upon. You cannot get near the Holy of Holies, which is where the presence of God dwells. And this is all in the Old Testament. Moses received the plans of this tabernacle the same time he received the Ten Commandments. we know all about the Ten Commandments. They condemn and condemn us to death. We can't keep them. And so the law shows us how wicked and how evil we are, and it can't save us. It shows us how bad we are. And the more you look at the law, the more ugly and the more wicked you realize that you are, that I am. And it, the joy of it is that it's not like many times with a psychiatrist or a psychologist, they can tell you the problem. And they go back and dig into to your past and, okay, here is what happened. And, you know, same thing with you and me. That's what happened, was that we were born in sin, born into it. And so if you want to dig far enough back, you'll find a problem. The problem's sin. God can't stand sin. So we need to deal with that sin. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be taken care of, because the Scripture tells us the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And so if we're going to die in our sin, and yet God doesn't want us to do that. He has given us an opportunity. And that opportunity is salvation through His Son. Well, back to the tabernacle, when you come to that brazen altar, brass in the Scripture always stands for judgment. And you come to that altar, and that altar represents the cross. That's the first place, because you see, there must be an offering, a sacrifice given, something on behalf that will take your sin away. Well, in the Old Testament, it wouldn't take your sin away, but it would cover it. And so they had to do it year after year after year until the Lord Jesus completed the work on the cross. And so for you and me, we can just come to the cross. We don't have to come to a brazen altar somewhere. We just come to the cross. And we come to that cross and accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And that's all we need to do. You know, it is a point of turning. You're hearing the Word of God right now. You have heard, and the Word tells us very clearly that we're sinners and we're lost. We need a Savior. That Savior is the Lord Jesus. And so if you'll come by faith to Jesus, you meet Him actually at the cross, because that's where all your sins was taken, was nailed upon the cross, carried by our Savior, the Lord Jesus. He died there. He took your sin away. Now, He's done everything. He not only took your sin away when He died, He also, the Scripture tells us, that if He's not risen from the dead, there is no forgiveness of sins. So 3 days later, He rose from the dead. We serve a living Savior, and that's the reason we speak of the personal relationship with Jesus. You need to trust in Jesus. You need to look to Him. So you see, when you come into that tabernacle from the east, the first thing you run into, and you can't get beyond it until you brought your sacrifice or accepted a sacrifice or had someone sacrifice on your behalf, and that's what Jesus did. And then you move forwards to the brazen laver for the cleansing of the Word, the washing. It's two brass and bronze. And so you have that beautiful picture, and then you go on into the holy place at that time and enjoy the fellowship. Well, we're fellowshipping over the Word by the light of the Lord Jesus, if you know Jesus. If you don't, well, you're still outside and you're looking across and you're wondering, you're doubting. We need to stop those doubts, and we need to have you come. And I hope that you would trust in Jesus today. And I hope that you are ready now, if you have trusted in Jesus, to go and tell others about it. And to have a joy in your heart, a burden in your heart, to give this great news, speak to others about this salvation that is needed by all. There is not one peoples in the world, not one nationality, not one country, not one color. There is not one person that cannot be saved. It's the gospel of the whosoever will. You just need to accept Jesus as your Savior. I don't care what kind of cult, what kind of religion that you're involved in right now. Jesus is the answer, and He's the only answer. We have the precious Word of God here. We stay with the King James. We don't move. We're not trying to keep up with the world, because, you see, my God made the world. I don't have to keep up with something the world keeps changing. My God made the world, and this precious book tells me how it was made and how He set out to save a lost and condemned and damned world. And so please, people, so please listen to the Word of God. And Paul says here, I'm ready. I want to come. I want to share that great news. We took quite a bit of time this morning talking about that gospel, coming by faith, accepting it, turning. You know, please stop in the direction you're going and listen. And then all you have to do is turn around. Turn around. That's what that word repentance means. It means to turn. And so please that you would come and you would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ today and be saved. And then acquire this burden, and you will. It's just something that comes as a believer, that you feel a debt because God has done so much for you. I have so much to give. I've got to give this gospel, and I desire to. And Paul says, not only am I a debtor, but I'm also ready. I hope you're ready. And the 16th verse says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Oh, to make even such a statement. And yet so many people today, we find, are ashamed of the gospel. The world has beaten it down, and it's so sad. It's so very sad. And we find that many people are ashamed, or kind of timid, maybe. Not Paul. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Paul was ready to stand for the gospel. You know, are you ashamed of the gospel? Please don't be. The gospel has saved your wicked soul. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus has saved my wicked soul. Please don't be ashamed of it. The gospel has brought the light to the poor. It has brought the light to minds that have been blinded by sin. The gospel has brought power to transform us from a dead sinner to living sons. What a wonderful gift God has given us, the gift of salvation. All believers should tell of the love of Jesus. And the love of Jesus, of course, is through the cross. You know, many times people take the word and they said, oh, God would never send anyone to hell. God does not send anyone to hell. You send yourself to hell. God has given you every opportunity of salvation. All you need to do is accept it. But if you refuse, you are going to hell. It's that simple. You either trust in Jesus. There is no, you know, many other religions say, well, I'm just going another way. There is no other way. The only way is to believe in the only begotten Son of God, Jesus. And I want you to call upon Him today. I want you to stop in your tracks, and I want you to turn around and begin to follow Jesus. All believers should speak of this precious love. They should speak with boldness, and yet we speak with a sweet, quiet spirit. There's a difference between being brash. We need to speak. When you tell someone something and you tell them out of love, that is a much different spirit than if you're telling them out of judgments. You have a judgmental spirit, and you're judging them because they're lost and they're a sinner. No. Tell them that Jesus loved them. Jesus died for them, and that they would please accept that and begin to walk with Jesus. You know, we need to tell them that the Spirit opens the door and speaks this precious word of the gospel. Speaks the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It speaks those words so clearly. And it is the Spirit that does it. You hear my words, but if you're convicted today, it's not by my words, it's by the Spirit of God that is touching your heart today. The Spirit of God. Now, a lot of people say, I want to be filled with the Spirit, and they get involved with all kinds of healing, with all kinds of the tongue movement, with all kinds of things like that. No. The Spirit of God. If you're filled with the Spirit, here's the kind of person that you will be. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You think about that. That is a person. God is not a God of turmoil. He is not a God of confusion. He's a God of peace and joy. And when you are empowered by the Spirit of God, you will possess a power that this world cannot give. And it'll be a power of love, of joy, of peace, of long-suffering, of gentleness, of goodness, of faith, meekness, and temperance. Please come. Who are we to tell? Who does Paul want to tell? We want to tell everybody. We want to tell everybody who can hear, who can receive this salvation that Jesus offers to all. It is the whosoever will. Stop. Turn around. Please come. Please come. We believers are in debt to all peoples, every color, every nation, every peoples. They need Jesus, and we have it to give. And so please, do not be ashamed. Be ready to preach. Know that we do owe a debt, not to people, not to man, but we owe a debt to God. For all the great things that He has done for us. We who know the truth, the gospel, should be happy to give this wonderful news. I'm ready. Ready to preach the gospel. You know, this is not about Paul. It's not about me. This is about Jesus. This is about the great news that we have to share about Him. It's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. See, it's not a religion. It's a person that I worship. I worship the person, Jesus Christ. Completely man, completely God. He died on the cross and saved me. God the Father sent Him to do that, and He was obedient and did it with joy. So please look to the Lord Jesus. Let's look to 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at the 15th chapter here. Verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. You come by faith. You trust Him today and stand with Him. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. What a beautiful message. Paul says, listen, believe by faith. And once you believe, the Spirit of God comes to live within your heart. The death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. He is the Son of God. He's virgin born. He's perfect. His blood was perfect. The blood that was shed for you and for me is our saving grace, His blood, His precious blood. After His death, He took His blood and presented it to His Father in heaven. It's there today. Every bit, every ounce of that blood He's at home because it's perfect. That blood's not like our blood that deteriorates, breaks down. Not his. Because his blood came from his Father through the Holy Spirit. So it's God. Fully man, fully God. This literal resurrection, a bodily resurrection. He's not a spirit. The bodily resurrection. And we will have a resurrection just like that when the church is raptured. Those that have died, their bodies will come up out of the grave. And when they come up out of the grave, and they're going to have their glorified bodies. And we don't know what age that is. We know that they'll have their appearance of what they look like here. But that's about all we know. They are going to be raised from the dead. And if we are alive, we immediately will receive our glorified bodies and we will be raised with them. What a glorious day that'll be. And we're going to go up and it'll be 7 years during the tribulation down here. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, what a wonderful day that's going to be. What a wonderful time. And so please, come by faith to Jesus. Trust in Him. If you don't find any peace or contentment every time you buy something or you get something, you think that's going to be it, but it's not. And it won't be. It never will be. Because the only contentment, the only peace, the only joy that you're ever going to have, and that is you'll find it in Jesus. So please come today. Please come. This isn't about something Paul desires to do. This is something that he is going to do because he feels a debt to his God, the Lord Jesus, because of what he has done for him. And it's just joy in his heart to take out the gospel. It should be a joy to us. I might suffer. I may even be put in prison. I may even have to go to the grave. But I will preach the gospel. That's Paul's message. It should be ours as well. This gospel. One man broke this down in this manner. And so let me just kind of share this with you. The aim of the gospel of God is unto salvation. The scope of the gospel is to each and every one that believes. The revelation of the gospel is, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now we have that in the 17th verse. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now if you'll notice that we have both of the others in there. The aim of the gospel of God is unto salvation. And if you look at verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To who? To everyone that believes. So you see in the 16th and 17th verse is the summary of what this gentleman was talking about, this godly preacher, as he shared these words. The just shall live by faith. Life by faith is what we should work by. And the end of verse 17 shares that. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. We are saved by God's grace through faith. We are kept through faith. The Holy Spirit lives within us. He seals us, and we are kept by Him, by faith. We are justified by faith. Every born again believer has been saved from guilt, the penalty of sin. Every born again believer. As Jesus met with Nicodemus in the Gospel of John there in John chapter 3. Nicodemus was asking some questions, but Jesus said very clearly right up front, he said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand. He, couldn't understand those words. I have to go back into my mother's womb. And Jesus says, no, you must be born again. And then he makes it a little clearer, you know, born of the, listen to the word and receive the Spirit of God, and you will be saved. So please, listen to the word today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?